You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of February 8th, 2017. And run! Run! It's Mario!
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Alborth.
My name is Scott Juster.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a site we run dedicated to the serious but not humorous conversation about video games. I'm a little sick today, so we're recording over the internet as opposed to in person. I know, crazy. And we're here to talk a little bit about Mario Run specifically. This is a game that came out, December?
The past month or so has been just kind of a blissful blur to me, so I don't even know where I am.
That's true. Do you want to talk about that? Do you want to talk about why mobile games are on your mind in particular, or in your hand in this case?
I guess we could. In the there's a danger of me just becoming a walking stereotype, I realize, with this conversation.
Look, if the McElroy brothers can do it, Scott, so can you.
I guess that's true. So Han and I recently had a baby. And that happened 3 weeks ago, and it happened seamlessly on the podcast because we had banked up a bunch of episodes.
Yeah, almost exactly timed.
Yeah.
I honestly partially think that your son knew. You know what I mean? I was just like, I got to come a little bit early. We got to wrap this up.
Got to mess up their casting schedule. Anyway, so that's been happening. Because that's been happening, I've been doing a lot of cool things like learning how to do everything with one hand and bouncing all of the time. And
see, this is why you should have trained one-hand usage by like handcuffing yourself to your pants, you know? Like, you could work on this ahead of time.
I could have. We'll probably do at a certain point, we'll probably do a like some sort of obnoxious dad cast in the future. But there was a time where I was playing Overwatch and baby was in the room and started squawking and a squealing right when we were trying to hold the last point. And I just so happened to be on voice chat with my brother, and I was like, Eric, no, this is
not like this.
Yeah, the baby's starting to squawk. I'm hold on. And so I picked up the baby with one arm and then had my mouse in the other hand.
This is true commitment to both child rearing and holding the point.
I mean, you know,
you can hold two things, the point and your kid.
Well, as it turns out, I cannot hold two things because we lost that match real bad after I couldn't use WASD anymore.
To be fair, who were you playing as?
I was playing as McCree.
See, that's the problem, right? Like, he's a hit scan character. Look, let's be honest. You're already bad at McCree not holding a kid. You know, if you had been playing like Torbjorn, no problem.
I would have just kept on hammering.
Just hammer away at your turret. Hit the Q button like when it's ready.
Instead, I had this really quasi immersive experience because my right hand was on the mouse, and in game, McCree's right hand is in the pistol, and you can't even see his left hand. And so
McCree could be holding a baby.
Exactly.
You don't know.
And so in the canon that I have started on my Tumblr.
Yeah. Who's the mother?
I mean, wouldn't you want to know? You'll have to wait till season two of my Tumblr.
That's exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Anyway. Because of that, I've been playing a lot of, I haven't actually been playing a lot of mobile games. I've been playing a lot of Super Mario Run, and we never got a chance to debrief on it. So we thought it would be a good thing to do this time.
Yeah. So this was a game that I guess they announced. I mean, when did they announce this? E3? I feel like Nintendo sort of made an announcement that, hey, by the way, we're bringing games to iOS and mobile phones. And then it was like, we don't really know what's coming. And then eventually they announced Mario Run. And everyone was like, awesome, Mario on a mobile. That makes perfect sense. Why have we not had this until now?
I believe, if I am remembering correctly, I believe they announced it at the Apple event because they had Miyamoto on stage.
That's right.
And so when they were doing the iPhone 7 event back in whatever, September or whenever they did it,
This is the hardware seller for Apple.
Yeah.
Finally, people will pick up the iPhone.
for just the low, low price of three Nintendo Switches, you too.
Man, you really put that into perspective just now, by the way.
Yeah, it is kind of weird, huh? But I think that's when they had announced that they were doing mobile games a while back, or smartphone games a while back. But I think it was around the iPhone launch. And then they finally released it, like you said, sometime around December.
Right.
And so I had it set up to notify me when it was out, because it was like one of the rare apps in the App Store where you could quasi pre-order it, if you will.
It's a good idea. I totally signed up for that as well and downloaded it day one, I should say. I was definitely eager to play it. You know, in my mind, I had a certain idea about what this game would be, mm-hmm. you know, and we know, right? They showcased the core mechanics of Mario Run, right? So if you're not aware, Mario is constantly moving to the right in a mm-hmm. sort of endless runner style way. But by tapping the button, he jumps, but you can hold the tap button a little bit longer and he'll jump higher. You could bounce off walls. So in my mind, it was an endless runner that gave you the freedom to sort of backtrack a bit more mm-hmm. or go and find hidden areas by using sort of like, you know, a special, you know, basically skill, essentially, like experience that you've earned by playing Mario, right?
Yeah.
Knowing when to jump off and avoid, you know, traps and jumping off of walls and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know how well it stood up to that idea in my head. Because in my mind, right, in my mind, I'm imagining like Donkey Kong Country or something, mm. right? Where it's like generally you move to the right, but sometimes you'll move back.
Mm.
And at the end of the day, when I had sort of played as much of Mario Run as I could handle without fear of being swept away into monetary transactions, it felt a lot like a rhythm game to me. Is that mm-hmm. the sort of feel that you've gotten so far by playing?
There's definitely a sense of that, because the game is, I mean, not only is it, it's called Super Mario Run because he's just, there's no way to stop it except if you are just standing on one of the pause blocks inside of the stage. Right. So you are constantly moving somehow. But also, it's built around the concept of runs in general, like a run through a level. Because most of it is around, you got to get to the end of the stage before time runs out. But most of the single player challenge, anyway, comes from trying to grab five special coins throughout the level and seeing how many you can get in a single run. And so there is that sense of, okay, I know this coin is three blocks up and I know I'm going to have to do a wall jump to get it. And so I need to tap, tap, wait, tap in order to get up there. And so it is kind of
the classic
rhythm-ish.
Tap, tap, wait, tap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The empire that Rock Band was built on.
Tap, tap, wait, tap.
So yeah, there is something like that.
The element that reminded me of it as well is like, not only are there, you know, there's the classic Nintendo audio cues when certain things happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, so one of the ways of like getting to harder reach places, and this is especially challenging when, so after you have a first run through a level and you get all of those five coins, you can go back and do another challenge, and usually they've changed the level in some little way, right? Like maybe the coins are in harder to reach places.
Mm.
So sometimes in order to get those coins, you have to like strategically jump on two enemies and then up onto like a block on top of a block to then jump to that next block and finally get that coin.
Mm.
And so there's a certain like rhythm where I would sort of count off like dut, dut, jump, do this, then go now, right?
Yeah.
And like sort of get the coin. And every time I fucking failed, it felt like failing in like a rhythm game or a Guitar Hero game, right? Where it's just so like, the moment I don't get that coin, I just like restart the level and basically go do it again until I get that perfect beat down.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there was definitely a time, and I guess a time that was pretty soon after I finished the main single player levels, where I got into the habit of, oh, I ruined this run, better restart. Oh, I ruined this one, better restart. And I had to break myself of that.
How did you do that? Because that is like, honestly, that's my biggest problem with investing more time into this game. Because I feel like I just can't, like, if I see a coin, we've been trained, Scott. Like, I got to catch them all, you know, like, I got to get those coins.
Got to coin them all.
Well, not only that, like, even in Mario games where you can go backwards, There were times where I would go play a level, know that I missed a star, and then completely restart that level. I wouldn't continue on. I would just go and do that level again, right? Because there's a sort of completionist part of me that I think is pulled out in particular in Mario games for some reason, that I just, like, I feel like I need to go back and do it, you know? Like, it's just less satisfying not to do that.
Did you ever get into proactively using the bubbles? As in other Mario games, you can bubble yourself
if you
want to, or you bubble yourself when you get hit and you are transported backwards through the level.
I haven't, because it always seemed kind of weird to me, but you're right. I do recall reading like a pro tip online that was like, you can just bubble and it will pull you back a certain distance to then retry that section of the map.
Yeah, and that's where I mean, as it stands right now, I've gotten... So there's four things you can do in the stages. You can beat the stage, you can get all the pink coins, you can get all the purple coins, and you can get all the black coins, and they increase in difficulty in that order. And at this point, I've gotten all of the pink coins and almost all of the purple coins, so I've played all of those stages at least two times through to completion.
Wait, hold on, like, what, how, I haven't seen any of the black coins. How crazy, like, is it insane or what?
They get pretty challenging, and also some of the aspects of the levels do change, like they switch up platforms and stuff.
Which was
surprisingly nice, because there's, let me see, what do we got here, 6 times 4, so there's 24 single player stages. But then you can multiply that out by 3, because the stages do change in configuration slightly, and also the coins are in different places, so you explore different parts of the stages. So it's a nice little multiplier in that sense. I've almost completed all of the purple coin levels, which is like the second tier.
Right.
And in order to do that, I certainly had to start using the bubbles proactively. Like, I saw a coin and I was like, oh, I could get that. So I just bubbled my way back, you know, 30 or 40 feet, and then went and grabbed that coin.
Right. Do you feel like it brings enough challenge to this? Like, do you feel like, you know, because the Mario series generally is considered one of those like perfect examples where there's a lot of difficulty and mastery if you want to find it and take that challenge. Or you could sort of go and play casually, right? Like, this is definitely, I've seen this game played by like kids on public transportation and stuff. So it definitely has that angle. But the endless running component, especially in the earlier stages that I played, felt a bit like it wasn't an optional challenge. It was just the way that you had to go about doing that. Now, I didn't collect all of the pink coins like you have, and I certainly haven't seen the black coins. But do you feel like for people who are hardcore Mario fans and people who've played a lot of platformers, that there's enough to that like aspect of the platformer challenge to keep them playing?
I don't know about the single player. I mean, it's weird because it is challenging.
It's all about the PvP.
Where you just I mean, suck I, we haven't even talked about the PvP yet, but I am actually going to talk about that. But it's weird because it is challenging, but it's not necessarily satisfying.
Yeah.
I don't know if... I guess the better way to describe it is there's a certain satisfaction I get even when I'm playing Mario Maker, where you run into a stage that's extremely difficult, but you know what you need to do, and it's fun executing on the physical skill of having to press the buttons in the right way. But this one is more, it feels a bit more contrived because there is that forced runner momentum of it. And so it is pretty challenging, but to me it's just not as satisfying, I guess.
Yeah. It's crazy to me that the simple act of forcing someone to run in one direction really affects that experience so much. Yeah. And I'm sure it affects the design, and that's partially why, right? Is because they can't be as clever with the design elements. But you're right, like, and not just that, right? There, Super Mario Maker is a good example, because there are times when you go into a stage and the stage is just busted. Either it's too easy, or it's broken and it's too difficult, or whatever, right? But the reason those levels can still be really enjoyable is because you're familiar enough with the way that Mario navigates that it's just kind of a treat to go and see how you can navigate that space regardless, right? So even if there's no crazy hidden challenge in the game, if you're just sort of jumping, doing triple jumps like all through the stage to get to the end, that could be a joy in and of itself, right?
Yep. It won't surprise you to know that Ian Bogost wrote an article about that exact thing, where he was talking about the philosophical underpinnings of Super Mario as a series, and how much movement played into that, and how much Super Mario Run was a departure from that.
Yeah. Well, see, I mean, me and Bogost, we're just like two peas in a pod. I miss you, Ian. Call me.
I mean, I think there's certainly something to that, because from day one, from 1985 onward, one of the most important things about Mario has been the control. And in this game, you have the least amount of control that you've ever had in a Mario game, down to the fact that you only have to press one button to move him around. And so, I mean, even though they do a very good job of approximating how the physics feel and how things work, it's just the faintest glimmer of what traditional Mario is.
Yeah. Do you think that this is the most extreme it will get? You know, like when people were talking about Nintendo on mobile, I think there was some fear that, like, oh God, they're going to make fucking Farmville with Mushroom Kingdom people or something, right? Yeah. Like, there's a lot of worst case scenarios, and there's also a lot of best case scenarios, like, oh, they're just going to bring Fire Emblem to mobile phones, which apparently they did.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of range, I think, about like how good these experiences can be and whether or not it actually makes sense to be on that platform.
Yeah.
Do you think that Mario Run is about as far away from the core of what makes Mario interesting that they probably won't push it any further on the mobile space?
I mean, it is, to me, it's still surprising that they even tried to do a Mario platformer, because the control pad is just such a fundamental part of Mario. Yeah. Something like Animal Crossing or Fire Emblem seems more suited to mobile, because it's not the tactile feeling. And so it's pretty bold that they said, okay, we're going to lead off with our marquee franchise, and we're going to make it at least somewhat similar to how you always have controlled Mario. But I mean, to be honest, here's my glib Twitter summary of Super Mario Run. It's probably the worst Mario game and the best endless runner I've ever played.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good. It's a good point, though, right? Like, because you mentioned Fire Emblem being like a more natural fit. And one thing I've seen over the past couple years is the growing healthiness of the board game space on mobile as traditional board games, like cool, crazy German board games like, you know, Agricola or even Mysterium, right? This like game came out last year, already has a mobile game. And that atmosphere is that environment is doing very well, right? Like, those games do very well on mobile phones because they're so easily, like, you know, tap and play. Mm. And when it comes to Mario, we do have Mario games in spaces like that, right? Like, this could have been a Mario Party game. This could have been Kirby's Dream Course, right? Like, there's also different ways, or Paper Mario or Mario RPG, or like, there's all sorts of different ways we can imagine Mario being interactive on the mobile phone. It almost feels like they did this just because they felt like they had to. It's like, let's just get it out of the way. Here's Mario, plastic platformer.
Yeah.
Now we're going to do other stuff where we just have easier ports. But first we need to wow people. First we need to say, look, we can do this.
Yeah,
I mean, the answer is, I think you're right, they can't that well. Like, it's just never going to be, this version of Mario is never going to be transferable unless they somehow get better at having buttons on screens, which I don't think has ever worked.
I mean, the other thing that I've been thinking a lot about is, so I also, my phone was basically on its last leg. So I also, you've made the joke about how this is a system seller, but for me, I actually did end up getting a new phone right around the time where this thing came out.
Yeah. Did you buy a Mario Runs cover?
It would have been so funny if I could buy a branded version. Like, there's blocks, you know, a question mark block iPhone. But I was thinking about it a lot because the newest iPhone has the more advanced haptic feedback in it. The stuff that feels the home button on the new iPhone isn't a button anymore. It's a haptic feedback button, but you would never know it by using it. Like, it feels like a button. And I was thinking about that in terms of what that might mean for games, because you could make things on screen that really do feel like buttons.
Right.
And I don't know if it will ever get that sophisticated, but you know, for what Mario is and what Mario needs to be, this is basically as far as they can take it, because if they tried to do some controller button combination, it would have been a disaster.
For a company that sells, I mean, look at the fucking Switch, right? Like, we covered it on the podcast, how many random like dongles and stuff you can buy to support it. Is it really that crazy to be like, you know what, why don't you just come out with a thing that I can plug onto my iPhone, and now I have a button and controller and can play Mario.
They have those. They have those crazy things, and also the controller support has been part of the iOS API for a long time. I just don't know.
Really?
Yeah, no one's really doing much with it, so I don't know. I mean, the problem is, you know, Nintendo couched this whole game as a Mario game you can play with one hand, and God bless them, they're right. I mean, I've been playing this thing with one hand as I, you know, frantically try to shush a baby to sleep. But
yeah.
They can't. You can't. You start to get into a problem that, you know, Kinect developers had, where you can't guarantee everyone has a Kinect, so it's hard to make mandatory things make use of that peripheral. Sure. So it's just kind of hard for them.
Before we go more into like what Nintendo's doing these days, because I think Mario Run does have interesting implications for like the Nintendo Switch and how Nintendo envisions like covering all of these mobile spaces. Mm-hmm. But what did you make of the other elements of Mario Run? So you mentioned the PvP, but then there's also like weird Build Your Kingdom Toad challenges and stuff.
Yeah, I have no clue what the Build Your Kingdom stuff does other than just make your home screen look like a weird shanty town in the Mushroom Kingdom.
Like you're a mushroom slumlord.
I mean, basically, like you said the Farmville reference earlier, but that's essentially what it is. It just lets you customize the game board, basically,
right?
And get a bunch of coins that you don't really need. The thing that I have actually spent by far the most time doing is the Toad Rally mode, which is the asynchronous multiplayer mode. Where,
the Dark Souls of Mario Run.
I mean, it is. You play against the ghost of another opponent, and you make a run through a stage, and you try to collect more coins than your opponent. And then at the end of the stage, it tallies up your coins, and it also tallies up the style points that you have.
Right.
And you get style points by doing cool flips off of, you know, platforms and stuff.
Yeah, triple jumping off enemies and things.
Yeah.
Like that.
And then at the end, whoever wins gets all of the Toad followers. So basically, Toads are currency in this game, is what I'm saying.
I mean, haven't Toads always been currency in a way?
I mean, they've fallen like so far since the first Mario. They were, you know, noble protectors of the realm and trying to protect Peach. And now they're coins.
I mean, they were like rent. They were always in Peach's cell. Like Peach was moved, and like Bowser didn't even feign to give a shit about the Toad that happened to be in the cell.
Well, I mean, all those Toads were imprisoned. I mean, if you think about it, the Toads were the hostages along with Princess Toadstool.
Oh, I suspect that they were actually their like gatekeeper, you know, and they saw you coming and were like, sorry, Mario, I was here to help.
Oh,
you know?
So they're collaborators.
I think they're collaborators.
Okay, some filthy collaborators.
So basically, they deserve what's coming to them in Mario Run.
Well, maybe that's good because I have over 3,400 Toads in my collection.
Holy shit.
And
do they breed?
No, well, not that I know.
Is this like
of
Fallout Shelter?
Oh man, that would be amazing. No, I don't think they breed. Hold on, I'm looking through my app right now. You win them by doing the rallies. It's kind of like Pogs. If you win, you get the other Toads that come to the stage.
Yeah,
and
you're
actually
playing for
lose
Toad
Toads
Andy.
If you lose.
Oh my god, that's terrible.
So I've collected all my slammers. And have,
can you challenge your friends, like specifically their ghost? Like, can you call them out and be like, I want to race against your ghost?
Yeah, you can. If you have friends set up in the My Nintendo Center or whatever they have as the multiplayer thing here, you can do friend challenges. And that's also where one of the monetization schemes comes in. In order to do these versus mode, you need to spend rally tickets. Right. Those tickets are finite unless you wait long enough for them to regenerate, or if you're good enough and you collect enough coins and go through enough bonus levels to collect some of those tickets. I have never, ever had a problem with with the tickets. It's kind of crazy.
Running out of tickets?
Yeah, I've been stuck at 99 tickets for basically the entire time I've played the game.
Oh, because they cap how many tickets you can have.
Yep.
Yeah. Your pockets only go so deep for tickets.
I
guess,
I mean, yeah. So, I mean, I actually like that mode quite a bit because it's not as... it's still kind of rhythm gamey, but there's a pressure to it that I find fun. Like, there's a need to be exacting in a way that there isn't a need to be exacting in the single player stages because you actually are competing against someone.
Yeah, I think the psychological element, I think, is important, right? Because when you're playing alone and it's this rhythm game, when I fail or when I succeed, I'm not beaten by anyone but my own incompetence or the game, right? But like when I see a ghost person and they're performing better than me, there's not only someone to blame, but there's also like an aspirational element, right? Like I could see how they executed that. Oh, I'm going to pull off a cool flurry. Or conversely, when they don't pull off a cool jump and I do, it feels good because it's like, oh, right, I'm being recognized. I can see how I can measure my performance, essentially. Yep. Whereas I don't really feel like there's a great way to measure your performance in the base game.
You can also see what characters people are using because ultimately you unlock Peach and you unlock Luigi and Toad, and they have different attributes. Some run faster, some do like the floating jump.
Super Mario
jump.
Brothers 2 established.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, it's the exact same thing as Super Mario Brothers 2, same powers and everything. And so, I mean, clearly the meta has solidified around Luigi. Like the competitive mode, once you get to a certain level in the competitive mode, everyone is Luigi. And every once in a while, they are Toad because Toad runs faster. So if your gambit is, I'm just going to collect coins faster than my opponent rather than more comprehensively, you might want to pick Toad.
They just zoom right past. The ghost is just gone. They just zoom past your screen.
It is. It's pretty funny. But Luigi is far and away the most popular character right now because of his durability and the jump that he has. And so it's funny to see that stuff. And then you can see kind of where people mess up in the stages and what they do.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because it's a fixed thing, there can be a perfect run, right? Like, surely there's someone who's like the perfect Luigi Mario Run player.
So in the multiplayer stages, they are truly endless. They don't actually end. So you can't really max out your coins.
Right.
Eventually the stages do loop somewhat, so you can get to the end of a stage and then it kind of loops back around to the configuration you saw at the beginning, but you'll never reach a flagpole.
Right, I see. But, I mean, there's got to be a maximum number of points, right? Like, is there a leaderboard? Does it say who the number one Mario runner is in the world? Is it Miyamoto? Probably.
Right now, the leaderboard only shows... Well, it only shows you how many Toads people have, and you clearly cap out at 4 9, so you can have 9999 Toads. I don't know if there's a comprehensive leaderboard.
That is the maximum
coins.
Capacity of the Toad Village.
Yeah, he has all of the Toads. Crazy. But I mean, I don't know if there's because depending on how you go through the level. Because the other problem is you get coins for style moves, and so there have been many games where I've actually won the game. Because I've done more style moves and I just enough barely inch over the coin total because I just happened to do a few more flips than them, even though they collected more coins.
I mean, this is how I try to live my every day.
You know? one extra backflip.
You might not win. You might not earn the most income, but if I got the most style, you know what I mean? Who's the real winner? That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, man. Anyway, for as disappointing as
it's a pretty
iOS
good disappointment.
Has been, I mean, no, really, like it's kind of faint praise, but we have both said time and time and again how disappointed we've been in mobile gaming. I think this is probably the best mobile game I've played since probably Threes, but that's not necessarily saying much. You know, the bar is not super high.
So in 1 month's time, the Nintendo Switch comes out. Let's imagine that you pick it up day one and you have that to go on the commute with. Do you see yourself continuing to play Nintendo mobile games? I know you just picked up Fire Emblem. You haven't started it up yet, but does it feel like, is there room for both when you have what is ostensibly a perfect mobile Nintendo console ready to go?
Yeah, it's tough because I can really, I'm far more sympathetic to the use case of the only thing I can have in my hand right now is a phone.
Right.
And so no matter that's how true. Good the yeah, Switch yeah, that's is, I'll true. Never be able to play it while I'm thing, hanging out Scott, with.
Here, yeah. Have your son use the left controller side. You know what I mean?
I've train already thought about the weird concept that his first console might be a Nintendo Switch.
Oh my God, that's so weird. This is why we need to do a dadcast, by the way, just because I think that's like fascinating. Like, because all of these hypothetical scenarios that you'd have to ask yourself, like, man, if I had a kid one day, like, what's the first video game I let them play? Is like, well, you got to figure that shit out because you've got like a ticking clock.
I know, I really do. And based off of what I've seen on Reddit, kids are obsessed with remotes, and controllers are just a very fancy remote.
Is that what do you wait? What? What have you been seeing?
No, I mean, like, you see those things on Reddit where, and I even did this with my brother growing up. You'd give him like a fake controller to play with because he'd be obsessed exactly. with it. Like, there's going to be a time in the very, very near future where I'm going to need to figure out how long it's going to take before he realizes that that original Xbox 360 controller does not control the Nintendo Switch.
Dude, I'm telling you though, like, don't give him a fake controller. Get him a real one. Make him the next faker, you know? Like, this could be like, your son could be the Jason Bourne of esports, you know? raised at a very young age to just merc fools in League of Legends.
That's true. I do need to work on my retirement, and clearly I'm not going to ever save enough. So the only hope is going to be the next generation.
Esports star. I'll get him a onesie that says like the next faker.
I mean, but going back to your original question, though, I think that this is, again, this is like the opportunistic time where you're standing in line at the bank, or you have one hand and are rocking a baby to sleep. But if I'm on the train, I would much rather have my Switch and be playing Zelda.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Or Pokemon Go.
Or Pokemon Go. I haven't played that thing for a long time.
Yeah, there you go.
The game did fairly well, I think. I was just kind of looking at various estimates and
Mario Run.
Yeah. I don't know. You tell me if this is impressive or not. So, Nintendo says that Mario Run, as of late January, Mario Run has been downloaded 78 million times. And
that seems pretty high to me.
5% of those players unlock the full content.
Okay. And the full content is what? $5?
$10.
5% of 74 million is a lot of people.
So I just did some Excel work as we've been on the podcast right now. And so 78 million, 5% of 78 million is 3.9 million. And then if you multiply that by 10, that's $39 million. It is estimated that Apple takes about 30% of all App Store transactions.
Right.
And so that's about $11.7 million, which nets out to $27.3 million to Nintendo's pocket.
That's quite a chunk of change. And importantly, that's not the added value of people buying in-game currency.
Yeah. And according to this Verge article, Nintendo has said that they brought in $53 million of revenue off of Super Mario Run. And to me, it's like, where does that 53 come from? Like, who is possibly buying all of the extra little doodads and statues and stuff that you can put in the field?
I mean, like, this is the question we've been asking about mobile games for the past decade, Scott. Like, they call them whales, but do we really know what they look like? Like,
they could be people right next door.
I just presume it's Notch. Like, he's just throwing money towards something, right?
It's really, I mean, again, maybe I did the math wrong or something, but, you know, upwards of maybe $30 million just of paying for the game, which is fine. I mean, you know, the game is fine, but almost double that to get to what Nintendo is saying that their revenue is, which is, I don't know, who's buying all these optional things? Yeah, who's buying crazy. All these tickets?
See, the thing that scares me is, you know, if Mario Run is to the far right, right?
Yeah.
Then if this is a success, it means we can expect to get more Nintendo games on, you know, iOS or whatever mobile phones. Mm. The question is, are they going to be any good, or are they going to look at the double the income on microtransactions and say, let's push the microtransaction angle instead of the upfront cost angle?
Yeah.
Because every person who didn't pay for the game as a whole was one person who wouldn't have potentially paid double in microtransactions.
Yeah. I mean, I think that might be the way that they're going with Fire Emblem. I'll do some recon. I think that's another game that I can play with one hand. So welcome to my new, welcome to our new podcast focusing on mobile games. But I mean, I actually have never played a Fire Emblem game, so I might as well play this one.
Sure. Yeah.
But I think they're actually going full free to play on Fire Emblem.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like it's pretty high quality.
So. Yeah. I mean, there is, to go back to the game itself, there is a certain level of Nintendo polish in the game that is refreshing to see on iOS, because so many of those games are just so shoddy.
Yep.
There's a, you know, when you click on an icon, it responds and it makes a pleasant noise, and it's, it has clear feedback in a way that half of the stuff out there just doesn't. And totally. It's interesting to see that level of quality in a mobile game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I say
there we have it. Yeah, I think that's it.
All right, we'll leave it there for now until next time, when I have my Fire Emblem debrief, and also Animal Crossing is coming sometime in the spring or the summer
on the iPhone. I think that's something that I might pick up, because that feels like it's got a natural home on my phone.
I mean, that to me could be a potentially very dark road, because it was already that game where you could say, oh, you got to come here at midnight on this day.
No. Like,
and now it's going to be on a device where you have on your person all the time.
But I mean, isn't it better that way? At least I know, like, if it rings at like 2 p.m., I can pick it up, you know?
But think of how incessant it could possibly be. It's like, you got to visit Tom Nook once an hour, George. Come on.
Come on. Tom's lonely. Help Tom.
You know, Tom, your mortgage is due every hour.
Oh, God, yeah. I think at that point, I'll delete the phone and throw my phone into the river.
Oh, man. All right. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our site. We're at the very far right side of your screen. You just need to run all the way there.
Just keep going.
Just keep going.
There. You'll make it
eventually. We are also on iPhones in the form of the podcast. What do they call it? Marketplace? I don't know. You can find us there, as well as anywhere else you find your podcasts.
Cool. All right, everyone. Until next time, we will talk to you next week. Thank you for listening.
Ciao. Every time we